say something. Believe it or not, it's that time of the year again, the Christmas special.
Ho, 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 kids! Welcome back to the Christmas special, and we're here to discuss our Christmas wish list. We've also gathered wishes from our faithful listeners, and I think we're pretty excited to discuss them.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite episodes because it's kind of like, let's crack a beer, talk about some gear, have some fun. It's that time of the year. Beer.
Beer.
What else?
You said beer.
What else rhymes? But yeah, it's a great episode. I like doing this one. I look forward to it. It's second annual, I guess.
Let's start there. Like, let's review what we asked for last year, if you got it, and then I want to like hear what you thought about it. Do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because I'm putting you on the spot. That's fine. So last year I asked for a bino harness, and I did land up getting that. It was a Alps Outdoors one. I purchased it, or I didn't purchase it. I asked for it because it was like... It was reasonably priced, which it was. I think it was like a $60 harness.
Oh, yeah.
You compare that because you got the Badlands one, right, Shelly? Yeah. How much did you pay for that one?
I don't want to speak about it because I bought it like without it, like not waiting until it went on sale. And then like, I think it went on sale for like $70.
So okay.
Yeah. I think you can get it for like under $100 now. But when I bought it, it was like $150 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Alps one I got is decent. It does the function of holding the binoculars and like putting them in a spot where you want them. And if you never use bino harness before, like it's a game changer, I find.
Yeah. So is yours like is it just the harness, or is it you can put other stuff in there as well? Like, is it the actual like?
It does have a couple side pockets. It has a built-in lens wiping cloth, which is nice.
I have that in mind. You just gotta watch. Mine got like moldy and stuff because it got wet.
So right.
Just watch
that. Air it out.
Yeah.
So things I like about it is like it fits well. It's relatively easy to use, and then it also, like I said, it stores your binoculars properly and is affordable. So if like you're looking for an access point, if you're not sure about a bino harness, that's the one that I would use. Things I don't like, the material, like it's rugged, but it might not. It's not. Like kind of that quiet outdoors material. It's like a polyester style, we'll right. say. I find that the actual string, the drawstring to close it, is maybe a little difficult to use, especially when you're all jacked up. Maybe I just right. haven't used it enough. Hard to say. And the other storage capacity, like the actual like compartments for like I can't hold my wind indicator in there. I use a Hunter Specialties one. It's too big to put in the side pocket, so right. I'd like a little bit more capacity on the front side for the right. future.
Yeah, I with my bino case, I kind of use it as a two-in-one. Maybe other people do it, but this is the way I use it. Is like when I'm walking and stuff, obviously wear it, but when I go and sit in a tree stand, I normally take it off and then wrap like the harness part of it around a tree so it's propped up perfectly, so I can just like reach over and grab my binoculars, so then it's actually not on my physical body
right.
when I'm sitting in a tree stand. And then I use it for other things too, like I have my knife in there and a little knife in there and other things, but yeah, I love mine. I wouldn't go back to anything else.
Couple rifle rounds when you're bow hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you guys remember what you asked for the previous nope. year?
Come on.
I'm trying to think.
I think I said broadheads was one of them.
Yeah. I think you're right, yeah. Did you get broadheads?
I didn't get broadheads, no. But
brutal.
So
Santa!
Yeah. So if you guys have been following along at all, I ended up getting a new bow this year because my bow blew up and self-destructed, essentially, we'll say. So about 3 or 4 weeks after that and several borderline mental breakdowns from not having a bow, I purchased a new bow. Choose fantastic, but I was shooting my muzzies out of them and they weren't really hitting good. And I didn't exactly have a whole lot of money to work with, we'll say, to go out and buy a bunch of new broadheads and test fire broadheads and such. So my buddy who actually hooked me up with all this bow hunting property, Chris, had he was like, hey man, why don't you try these slick tricks I got.
Oh yeah.
So he tossed me I think a half dozen slick tricks and shot them, and they shoot really good actually. So I have intentions of trying the G5 Strikers for next year. I heard some good things about them. Yeah.
So you kind of like bought a Ferrari, but had to put like Motormaster tires on it for a little
pretty
while?
Pretty much. Yeah. I had to borrow some tires to run this baby.
Well, the Slick Tricks, what do you think of the Slick Tricks?
The Slick Tricks were good. Yeah.
They look decent, eh?
Yeah. They were. They're,
you didn't actually shoot anything with it.
I did not kill anything.
Did you hit a tree with it?
No trees.
You had to think about that.
Yeah, I did. I shot a stump with the muzzies. I was trying to toss one at 60 and it just missed the target altogether.
Still gonna send it.
Yeah, blame it on the broadhead.
So Sheldon, why don't you review? Are Chase, you done there?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
It's a lockboard story.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lockboard story. That one weaves a little. Got to go around the river bend. Yeah. Do you have a piece of gear you can review, Sheldon?
Yeah, I guess I can. But it's what I did this year is I went and bought myself a new pair of binoculars. I had a pair of Bushnell like H2O. Like they weren't super expensive by any means, but they were kind of perfect for what I needed them for. And then they end up biting the dust, and I think it was from bouncing around my half ton like 280 days of the year. So I went on sale, went to the old Cabela's and picked up a pair of Vortex Diamondbacks.
That's what I run the Diamondback.
Okay.
And then there's the Crossfires, the Great.
No, mine are the Crossfires. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So I picked up them, and yes, I really, really enjoy them. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I'd go with anything else. Like, for what I need them for, they're perfect, and they're really good at low light. I really like that part of them. And when I was shopping for them, I was looking actually at Nikons, I was looking at them, and I was looking at Bushnells. And one tip that I had from somebody, and I don't know if it was on the podcast or just through the grapevine, is like find a pair of lens that's a little bit heavier than normal, because it means that they're made better, or the lenses are better, or the glass is better, I guess. So I kind of just used that tip to make my decision, and I'm happy with it. So
nice.
That's one thing that I severely underappreciated or underused,
undervalued
as when I was younger. I mean, we never used to have good binos, really. But man, if I'm not in the bush with my binos, I am definitely looking for my binos. And when I do have them, I use them multiple times throughout a hunt during the day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he kind of just looks like a seal out there without his binos. You know, he's just kind of flapping his chest like.
What do I do with my hands?
And you were looking at Scorpion Optics a little too, weren't you? They're a local company out of Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, I was looking. I won't lie. Like, I won't lie about it. Like, I kind of just like looked at it. And I didn't really go into depth and like research them. And the real only reason why, and this is a foolish way of thinking, but the only reason why we went with Vortex is because they're so well known as well. Like, I'm a total supporter of local businesses and supporting local. So in one side of me, I'm like, fuck, I should have went and like checked the other avenues before I pulled the trigger. And then the other side of me is just like, I had no time. I just had to go with it and pick them up.
So like in the future, you're saying maybe exploring Scorpion.
Yeah, options. Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely would like to support local companies and businesses. So I would definitely look into it way more than
they're right off Marion there, right? Or is it Archibald?
I'm not too sure. I just looked everything online, but
yeah, I've driven past them a few times there. It's kind of cool to see like an optics place in Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It can become a very slippery slope if you don't have binos too, because like oftentimes I go to check something out in my scope, and if that safety comes off, could be dangerous.
Oh, it's just the spike bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, better check them out in the scope here quick.
Yeah. It's funny. And just like the whole binocular talk, this is kind of the same thing that you just said. Chase is like, I know guys that I hunt with, and they're like, oh, you bring a binoculars? Like, no, I got my scope. That's like, well, whatever. And then you're sitting with them in the tree stand, and they're like, hey, man, where's your binoculars?
Yeah.
It's like, I thought you said you didn't need them. Like, no, like your own. But I think it's pretty funny, but
it's just so much easier to look at something through binos too, because a gun's like kind of cumbersome to flip around, right?
And yeah.
You shouldn't be pointing a gun at something you're not intended to shoot.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, and I even use them fishing. Anyways.
Guns or binos?
Yeah.
Depends where I'm fishing.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
What about you? What did you get your full Christmas list?
I told, yeah, my harness there.
Oh,
Yeah. But, so, like, what's on the list? Should we do the listeners here? No, let's do the listeners first thing.
Sure. So, we had...
Who are you hearing from?
We got Annette here.
Annette. She does our clothing.
Yeah, shout out to Annette.
Yeah.
And she has that wicked-ass farm in Neepawa.
Yeah.
Llamas,
goats, miniature cattle.
Turkeys.
It's turkeys. Chickens.
And cow or two there.
Yeah.
That horny goat.
Josh loved that goat.
Yeah. Man. I think that's a spirit animal. So Annette wishes for Christmas. She's looking for cast iron pan or cookware. Cast iron cookware in general. Fishing gloves and a bow.
First of all, I'm gonna cut in there, but the cast iron cookware, I agree that like that would be some on my list too that I never ever think of when it comes to Christmas time.
That's a great idea. So do you guys have any tips or anything to look for when you're searching for cast iron?
I've heard that if you invest properly in cast iron, that actually pays off. Like there's better and worse grades, obviously, like most things that you can buy. And like I think a lot of it comes down to maintenance too, right? Like there's a little bit more maintenance to a cast iron piece of cookware than there would be like your Teflon pan, but that's gonna pay off, I think, when you go to flip an egg and it's actually, you know, properly browned on one side and doesn't have a bunch of Teflon embedded in it.
I cooked some flapjacks on the old cast iron the other day. It was awesome.
Did you feel like a goddamn lumberjack?
I felt like, oh man.
How much chest hair?
Yeah.
Did you have poking out?
All of it.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you on that. I can't say I went. So I recently, about a year ago, purchased some new cast iron for the kitchen. I didn't go the most expensive route. Costco had a pretty good deal on some cast iron pans. They got two pans and it was like $40 or $45. So fairly large pan and a medium sized pan. And they've been doing me great, and they come with like
silicone holders,
silicone handles, on them, removable handles, so you can wash them and stuff like that. But they come pre-seasoned; they're not turned on a lathe or anything like that, so they're straight, like they're cast, full cast.
Yeah, no, nice. How do you tell the difference?
The bottom of the pan on the turned ones are smooth, and the cast ones have that like rippled or the sandy surface, right?
Right. Sweet.
And they work great.
And what's the benefit of either or?
I think Tristan can maybe, you want to go into depth about that? I think you're a little bit more
knowledgeable. Well, I think the cast one is just a more pure product, and like it's supposed to hold up better, and you're getting a more consistent, I think, iron when it's actually cast in the shape that it's supposed to be coming out. That's what I've heard anyways, but I just like cooking on them because they're badass too, right? Yeah, there's a badass factor to them. And you can sear the shit out of something on a cast iron pan.
That's one huge thing I notice is like if you're searing on like a Teflon pan, man, you have to have it cranked on max the entire time you're searing.
Well, because it's aluminum, it's thin, and it doesn't hold heat. The cast will hold heat, and when something hits the pan, it'll actually like hold that heat and sear it, as opposed to just like dispensing all the heat into the meat quickly or something, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, when you're like, it requires a little bit of maintenance, but also like if you're just doing eggs every day in it, like I don't even bother washing it most of the time. I just give it a wipe because that butter and everything that's in there, like that's just, or oil or whatever you use to cook eggs, that's just going to add to it.
Season it.
Yeah. Just treat it like a piece of property that you want to last a while. Treat it like a rifle that you want to last, and it'll stick around for you.
Yeah. What about fishing gloves?
I don't even know what she's talking about.
Me neither. Annette, nothing.
You know what I would recommend? Go to like, I can't remember where I got my last set of these. It might have been in the paw, actually, at that clean all. But they're just like wool finger mitts. And they're good for like...
You don't see those around very much anymore, eh?
No. And they're like, I use them for hunting. I use them for fishing and stuff like that. And you can get them wet and they're still a little bit warm. They're not great for like standing out in minus fucking 30 or whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But yeah, I really like it. I get a lot of use out of those on the ice and in the woods.
Man, I can't wait to go ice fishing.
Yeah. Guys are killing it out there.
Thanks, Annette, for triggering me.
You guys want to go into the bow at all?
Nope.
You talked about your bow.
Oh, no, Florida. My bow, yeah.
What bow should Annette get? 1, 2, 3, go. Bowtech.
Bowtech.
Matthews.
Hoyt. Good luck with your Christmas list.
Just Annette. Get a bow that you can shoot.
Yeah. Annette, if your husband's listening, you deserve all those items.
And Annette, feel free to ask us any questions when it comes to your bow.
Yeah.
And then when you ask me, I'll just tell you to go talk to Chase.
Okay, we got, I think his name's Ian Wilton. I'm not sure what his handle was, a little bit, had some numbers in it and stuff like that. But from what I gathered, is Ian Wilton.
Yeah, 01 Ian Alex Wilton 19.
Yeah, so
he's sending us some love too, saying he appreciates the Canadian content.
Big and, supporter.
Likes that we interact.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And well, since if Ian's listening to this one, then go to our Panoramic podcast page and rate us and comment.
Yeah, give us a rating, man.
Thanks, brother.
Love that. But he wants 30-06 Ruger.
Good gun.
He was talking it up too, eh?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I've been kind of looking around for... I've been doing research, we'll say, on a firearm to entry level firearm to get Jody, because she's been talking how she wants to go hunting and stuff like that, and I really want to give her the best experience. And I thought, you know,
300 Win Mag,
yeah. So get her to the 338. No, but I really want something that she can be efficient with. Uncomfortable with, and I was initially thinking the Savage Axis, but I had a buddy of mine,
because they're tack drivers, right?
Yeah, they are tack drivers. My buddy said his Savage misfired on him on 3 different occasions now, and he's sent it back to Savage, and it still did it. So
that's a bolt gun.
Yeah,
man, that you're buying a bolt gun because you're buying reliability, right?
Yeah.
If you wanted something to misfire, I'd be getting an autoloader.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always liked the Savage in the past, and I personally don't own one at the moment, but I think I'd be looking Ruger American for sure.
The thing I like about the Ruger American and the Winchester also, the Winchester 70 has a similar trait, is that the actions are just some of the, like, I don't know how to describe them other than robust. Like, you know that action is not going to mess around on you.
Yeah.
And, like, it might be okay if you're hunting, like, down in the States somewhere where you just have, like, you know, kind of a regular old 710 action, which, you know, great gun.
Yeah.
Or not 700.
Yeah.
I shoot a 710. Yeah. But up here in the north, when shit gets cold and stuff starts to freeze, it's nice to know that there's an action that's going to just, like, plow through all that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Our next wish list item is a Clam Nanook XL Thermal by, sent in by your buddy, I think.
Oh, yeah, that was Sasha.
Sasha.
Yeah.
Sled SD Lev.
Yeah, SD Lev. And he probably needs it, because he's done a lot of fishing. He was a guy that was fishing Lake Audie there in Clearwater, pulling out master pikes there.
Nice.
So, and those clam tents, those are the big octagon ones that are...
Yeah, they make some big units.
And they're insulated, right?
Yeah.
Man, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
I still don't understand. I think I was talking to you on the phone about this, Chase, is... How a company has not made a blind / ice fishing unit.
Yeah.
2-in-1, so that doesn't have to break everyone's bank per season, but.
Well, that's what we were kind of talking about too. And like those,
Did you just come up with a new business model?
Did I just ruin our whole business?
This. Yeah, that was our angle for getting sponsored by that company.
Well, yeah. How about this? We'll put it out there to listeners. Like, shoot us a comment. Like, would you support the 2-in-1 hunting blind / fishing hut kind of pop up scenario? Because it does seem to be a lot of overlap between the two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't really used a pop up hunting blind much in the past, but I think it seems like every year more and more we're finding ourselves pulling out the pop up blind and hopping in that thing. And
man,
I've had a successful hunt out of it this year. Not us personally, but
yeah, we set someone up on it. Yeah. I'm 33 now, man. I don't want to freeze my nuts off in a tree stand for 8 hours a day.
Yeah. Freaking old, and man.
There's totally.
I'm so old.
There's what am I trying to say here? But there's like room for a pop-up blind for hunting. Like there's certain areas and spots that you need one. And a lot of guys just don't because you might only need it for a week.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it is. So that's why I'm always saying, like, man, it'd be cool if there's a 2-in-1 so that you guys fish with it. And if you need it for that 1 week, then you could use it.
But, for sure, yeah.
But anyways, yeah, clam. Sorry to go down that rabbit trail, but that clam, that's a pretty good unit. I think they're very well used and very
popular. I'm pretty popular.
I'm sure there's a buddy out there who set up his fishing blind on the edge of a field.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He probably took it down to some, like, sewing person. I was like, here, cut me 4 windows and put in some screens with Velcro. Bingo, bango, bongo.
I think he probably just wrapped the regular old windows and was going to send it.
Yeah. Next.
Yeah. Next, we got Gary.
Old Gary.
He wants a brown and gold medallion 30, not 6. What do you do? I hope Gary's been good.
Oh, that's funny.
So that's a semi-loader, eh? Or an auto-loader?
Semi-auto.
Yeah, semi-auto.
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
I'm going to fact check
that. Man, that'd be sweet. That's kind of like the that's kind of the all-American deer gun in one way, eh? Like that Browning 30-06 semi-loader.
Yeah. My old man has a Browning 25-06 X-Bolt.
Oh, yeah.
Loves it.
Yeah.
Browning makes good guns, so I mean,
I've never met someone who had a Browning and regretted that purchase.
Right. Yeah.
So and that's saying something, right? They've been in business for how long? And
yeah, they make quality, that's for sure. Affordable quality, I guess.
I've thought about like what it would mean to get a semi-loader for deer, not necessarily because I need so many follow-up shots, but because it's better with like recoil management. And honestly, like, yeah, the bolt gun's great if you're taking a 600-yard shot. There's more accuracy there, but I can't say I've ever taken a 600-yard shot on a whitetail.
Yeah.
Or on any animal, for that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the... you might be able to get in semi-auto, but there's definitely some bolt guns here. There's a lever action, I think, that I've seen.
The gold medallion?
Yep.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Well, Gary, go for the semi-auto. I don't know what you're thinking here with the bolt gun.
Yeah.
Okay. And our good friend April, Dawn Willis, is that correct?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, she wants a Canon camera for filming her hunts and a Garmin Fenix 6X.
We got
6S watch.
Watch. We got to put that in. On our list of podcasts for 2020 is get a camera guru in here to go over some of the, you know, self-filming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I got a lot of questions too when it comes to cameras. But
only we ever had a podcast with someone who does a lot of camera work.
Yeah. Who would that be?
You know what?
You should text him. Text Jay right now. See what he wants for Christmas. Ask him.
Text McFadden too.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll text McFadden, you text Chase.
Josh can't say mustard, though. That's the one thing he can't say. He has enough mustard.
I wish I had I'd spoken with Josh prior to buying my last camera.
You bought a Sony, though, right?
No, not yet.
Oh, I That's thought you next did.
Unless I got a Canon.
What kind of camera did April say she wanted?
She wanted a Canon.
Is that the same one as you?
She just said a Canon, so she did not specify.
So maybe she doesn't even want a camera.
She said a Canon camera to film her hunt.
Sorry, I only listened to half the things you said.
She would have some interesting content, though. I see her. She's always out there, eh? And, like, either scouting or hunting or fishing. So, hopefully she gets that Canon and is able to...
It's funny when I talk to Josh, he, like, you can never get a straight answer out of him.
Yeah.
Or, like, he's always...
Full of BS.
Trying to be funny, like, what? Old dad jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
So, what do you want for Christmas? He goes, no debt. I said, no, but for real, we're doing a podcast right now. Anyways.
Classic.
Oh, yeah, like Garmin watch, what would that be? Is that like GPS and like step thing, step counter?
Must
all that?
Must be. They're getting some pretty fancy stuff with them watches, eh?
Yeah. Be neat to have.
Yeah.
Add it to the list.
Yeah. Let's see how many steps you don't take in a day.
Six. They must be broken.
It was funny because when we went on that elk hunt in Ashland there, I just like looked at my phone one day and like the last day of the hunt, and I had like the whole week, the average was like 15,000 steps or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the last day was like 12,000. And then the next day was like 400 steps. I was laughing. I'm like, oh, that's couch to the fridge for sure all day.
That's hilarious.
Shout out to April though. She's a good
yeah, she's got account, good
person.
Yeah, so she's got a personal account, and she also has that
Huntress Health
account.
Check that out. She's got some recipes and stuff on there all the time. And
yeah,
worth a follow.
Yeah,
yeah, man. She's one of those solid people that just represent the outdoors, like,
yep,
very well.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're a little questionable. April's, you know,
yeah,
all above board. Better so content. Legit.
Oh, you know what?
What?
I just thought, I'm pretty sure Jay is in somewhere down in Louisiana or something like that.
He's got data.
I've seen his story. Looks like I haven't talked to him since April. April 19th.
That seems like a very important question.
Yeah.
Good friend.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a few here. So I've got Keevan Erickson there from Huntfish MB.
Yeah, the elk master,
the elk whisperer.
Yeah, I once called him the elkiest mofo I know.
You don't know a lot of people, but
clearly
he's definitely one of the elkiest dudes in Manitoba.
Yeah, he's been on more elk than I can dream of, so
yeah,
I'll give him that much. He said he wants a spot or in reach. So I haven't heard of in reach myself personally. Have you guys heard of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, they're deadly. Actually, my buddy Chris has one, and he got one of the newer versions where you can actually link up through Bluetooth, I believe, to your phone. And so he was in Moose Camp this year, and he was texting me through the in reach through his phone.
Oh yeah, and apparently texts don't really cost much or anything, really.
I think it's, I can't remember how much you said it was, but it was a fairly reasonable price to,
yeah, I think like Parker and them run those up north in Churchill.
Yeah,
in reaches.
It's kind of like a nice security blanket, I guess, eh? Like, you're, if you're absolutely in an area with no cell service,
yeah,
even just a check-in with someone once a day, you're able to do that kind of scenario.
Just like the comfort factor.
Yeah, especially like I could really see that being beneficial for me, like with kids at home and stuff like that. Just
like, you're not going to be
checking.
You're not going to be checking your Tinder on it. But like, I don't know who would. Don't.
Maybe they should design an app for that.
Yeah. You matched with three moose. Okay. Next up, we got Del Barber.
Del Barber.
Yeah. And I've been harassing him here to get a, I'm going to try and get a vinyl pressing off him here.
Nice.
But,
what's he got on the wish list?
Yeah, he said a new release or a new rangefinder.
What would you guys go with?
For a rangefinder or
no, release? For, would you go release or rangefinder?
Oh, rangefinder.
Yeah.
100%.
I'd probably rangefinder and then sell it and get a nicer release.
and then just a lower.
Yeah,
lower quality rangefinder.
Yeah. I think I'd like to get a new release, to be honest, if I had the choice. Not this, like, they're not even in the same price bracket.
Wow.
But I,
Dude, some of them are close. Like some of them are $200-$300.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I have a pretty deadly rangefinder right now.
Mine sucks. I think I got
the Vortex 1000, I think.
Yeah, it's good.
It's nice. But I for sure wouldn't mind getting a new release.
You know what? I was trying to range some of those deer. I got the Vortex Impact.
Yeah.
And I was trying to range some of those deer at like 400 yards, 500 yards that we were dealing with on that cut line that we're hunting this year. Wasn't happening.
You need a tripod for sure or something steady to lean on. I tried ranging like a tree at 300 yards and it was took me like 10 tries to get it.
Do you find a difference at low light conditions? Because I was noticing that it was harder for me to range shit in the evening than it was during the day.
I've never had that issue. Not to say that I range a lot of stuff in low light conditions.
Yeah. Like, we're talking pitch black.
Okay, what do we got out there? 300 yards.
Well, the other thing Dell's hoping for here is he's hoping to fill his elk tag.
Yeah, that's right. He's got a late season elk tag, right?
Yeah. So I was chatting with him, and he was saying he's into the action, so hopefully he's able to connect.
I hope so, man. I like that guy, and he is in, like, some beautiful country there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Super elky.
And he didn't have any success deer hunting, I don't think, this year, so.
No, I had a bit of tough go.
I think he'd appreciate a freezer full of elk meat with the family there.
Yeah. I mean, I'd settle for, an elk.
Yep.
Okay, next up, we got Broken Tree Farmstead. Chatting with them, and they said time off or time off from the farm or favors from friends to come watch the farm. So,
go ahead.
I felt like that was a strong hint towards us, maybe like
come look after the geese.
Yeah, come pitch some bales, boys.
That wouldn't be a bad thing. You know, that'd be like the
panoramic
your situation with my kids right now. the uncle that can come in, have the fun and experience a short timeline of it, but then at the end of it, just leave and be like, all right, that was fun kind of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. The uncle and auntie factor.
Can you imagine the content we could generate? Like Panoramic does the farmstead for a weekend.
That'd be hilarious, actually.
I actually wouldn't mind that.
I can already hear the background music. Like,
We'd have to kidnap Dale, I think, and have him.
Oh, man, that'd be wicked. That'd be some straight-up Mr. Bean shit, though, I'm quite confident.
Yeah, and just have him, like, just constantly playing in the garage there.
Yeah. You can't come out yet, Dell.
Yeah.
Sorry, bud.
What's that one movie when he's like, oh, yeah, I went out this morning and milked your cow, and he's, like, drinking the milk. And
oh, that's
like,
a Pauly Shore, that's son-in-law.
Yeah.
We don't have a cow, but we got a bull.
He's already,
yeah. Yeah, that'd be Chase, for sure.
Yeah. Or Shane. Shane would be out there picking the banjo.
Yeah, but I think the whole point is to get him out of there. But Shane said he wants more cows.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure there's a song about that somewhere. Old Corp song.
Corp Blunt song?
Yeah.
Cows Round, maybe?
Point proven, Graham Crawford. Just about as long of a list as me here.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, here we go. Should I rattle through them or should I go one by one?
Just rattle them and we'll pick apart the one. Yeah.
Well, it's a KS Custom duck call. Local boy.
Where are they out of? Do you know?
They're right around here, I think, St. Andrews.
No.
Am I wrong?
They're...
No.
I'm fairly certain they're Western Manitoba.
Anyway.
Let's check it out. I'll look into it.
Yeah, so I'll fact check that. I'll keep rolling here. He wants some Kent Bismuth, which is that, you know, the shot shell.
Yeah.
He was shooting that this fall. Irish Shedder.
Irish
Shedder. Irish Setter Havoc 801s. So that's a boot, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
Who are we talking to? Maybe that was him on the last podcast. He was talking about.
So KS Custom says they're out of Winnipeg in their Facebook. But I thought they were Western Manitoba for whatever reason. Maybe not.
Those boots. Yeah, he's a big Irish Setter kind of boot guy and dog guy. Also said muck boots.
Screw that.
Graham,
we got boots for you.
Yeah. Let me tell you.
Let him try on your boots.
Me tell you.
Yeah.
They're probably about the same size, eh?
You think? I don't know. I don't know. Graham, if you're listening, shoot us your foot size ASAP.
Yeah. We might have just the thing for you.
What's just the thing?
Those boots that you've been rocking.
Geller Up?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Skeller Up.
Skeller Up.
They've been good.
Yeah. Anyways.
Electric Auger is also on the list.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Like, what, is Santa going to bring one load just for him?
Maybe the business to knock Santa out of the sky and just like raid him after that. I don't know. What do you guys think of that laundry list?
That's a good list.
Yeah.
That's a wish list for sure. That would be like my wish list, right? Like, I'm never going to get that, but whatever.
It's good to have goals. Right?
What's your goal this year? Oh, I got a big Christmas wish list.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I always got to have stuff. I feel like Graham had a plethora of calls already on his...
On his lanyard?
On his lanyard when he was over here. But, you know, a guy always
That's has. One thing I think I'm going to ask for Christmas is a new lanyard.
You know,
I have one, but it's just... I don't like it. It's too, like... I don't know. It's weird.
You know what you should do?
It's a cheap one. What?
You have Camel Fire?
Camel Fire?
Camel Fire, the app?
No.
So it's like a discount hunting gear app, and it's in American dollars, I'm pretty sure, fairly certain, but you can get some, if you keep your eye on it and know the prices, you can get some fairly good deals, and there's often some good deals on waterfowl lanyards.
I would really like to source my lanyard out of someone from like Manitoba. Or somewhere close. Someone that maybe makes them or something. I'd like to find that. So anyone's listening, if you know of somebody that makes lanyards, let me know.
I know a guy that's makes them out of paracord.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Aren't they all out of paracord?
No. Like mine's not. Mine's like a cheaper one, though. But.
Like the if you get like the 4-call ones or like the 6-call.
Quite a few of them are.
Yeah.
I have a 6-call one, but it's like almost made out of, I don't even know how to describe it.
Hmm.
But it's not paracord. But yeah, quite a few of them are. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, who's up next?
And then we got Jay Siemens.
Ooh, J-Dog.
Jay.
I was actually just having a conversation with Lewis about Jay the other day. About just how good of a representative he is of like the outdoor and fishing community in Manitoba and Ontario and stuff like that.
Yeah. His videos are pretty wicked.
Yeah. He's great, man.
He's put in a lot of time and effort into that, though, you can tell.
Yeah.
That didn't come by accident. Like, it's not. He's got talent for sure, but like, you can tell there's time and attention and detail put into.
I'm a big fan of Jay and his work, like, the last, well, since we've had him on kind of on the podcast, but like, his stuff that he's been doing, like, the last, say, like, 6 months has been. Like, unreal, and, like, good content. And he always has, like, different people on. Like, he has that, like, Marcel on. He's had Josh on. You know, like, it's not all... I'm not trying to make this sound bad, but it's not all about him, kind of. It's, like, he brings a bunch of people around and has people, like, good people surrounding him, and it makes good content. I like it.
Who do you have?
I can't remember. I had a fly tying vice.
I can't remember.
It's a very
practical.
Practical.
I thought he was going to say camera gear or something, but he said fly tying.
Oh, that's a good gear.
Santa Claus probably wouldn't get the proper camera gear for him.
Yeah, maybe not, eh?
Yeah.
I said 60 millimeters, not 50 millimeters.
Okay, what's next up on the queue here, Chase?
That's all we got for, unless there's some other ones. Waiting in the queue.
Josh McFadden says, I said, honest, you're on the mic right now. He goes, well, I don't know. I love a whole dead cow. For obvious reasons. He likes to cook, so. I guess not obvious to everyone. But.
You know what? There might be someone that could hook him up with that, and he better be. Well, mind you, he'd actually probably make use of it, eh?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
We have no more questions from the docket on Instagram or what?
We had a bunch of comments,
so
not questions.
Let's run them.
Yeah, there's some funny ones there.
Let's check them out. Hang on. Stand by. Standing by. Gary actually said the Downing gold medallion. So, Gary, make sure you check your spelling before you send that one in to Santa. Jody wants sleep.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. The Biebs, our buddy Jared says, thank for everyone to have a very Merry Christmas. And Marnie's pictures. She doesn't want a present. She just wants to go ice fishing.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Marnie. If you want to go ice fishing, you can contact us. We'll take you out for an afternoon.
Here we go.
Not like take you out, take you out. We'll go ice fishing. Come on to our ice fishing shack. Catch some walleye.
Take the Santa sleigh out and traverse the ice.
Let's do it.
So should we move on to our personal wish list then?
Let's do it.
Okay. I'll let one of you guys start if you're capable.
Well, I can start.
Go for it. You're live.
There's a few things on my Christmas list when it comes to the outdoors, and one of them is actually a canvas tent. It's kind of one of those big things that I'm probably going to buy myself.
Like a prospector?
Like a prospector, yeah. Something that's big enough where you can put a wood stove in and have a few guys on cots. And that's on my list. And my second thing is actually a good pair of boots. I think I had my last steps in my Under Armour rubber boots. This year I've had them for like ever. And super warm boot, but they're just breaking down and they get wet easily now. And they're not really rubber boots anymore. They're just boots.
What kind of boots are you thinking about getting?
Well, let me tell you about this company. I was thinking of getting those Quattro Extremes. But at the same time, if anyone has any suggestions or any feedback on rubber boots, I'm one of the guys kind of like what Kevin said. I do a lot of walking in rubber boots, so I like a good comfortable pair. So.
Man, I don't know how you guys do it. My legs and my feet are just dead after a day of walking in like boots that don't exactly fit me too great.
Yeah. I also run a pair of Rocky. They're like the ones that the army uses, like in the desert, whatever, like they're tan or brown colored.
Yeah.
Anyways, I bought a pair of them. They're by far the best boot I've ever walked in, but they're super light, so all deer season I would wear them when I was like walking the stands, but if I knew I was like wasn't far walking, I'd be wearing the bigger rubber boots. But
yeah. When I was talking to Hack there, he was saying that he's got a pair of Under Armour, some sort of Under Armour, just like
a hiking
like boot. An early fall boot, yeah, like hiking boot and super breathable, but he said they're just like featherweight and they're just awesome to get around in.
Yeah. Yeah, he was before we went moose hunting there, he was talking about them. And for a guy of that that's structured that big, he needs a good pair of boots. And if he says they're pretty good, they must be all right.
Yeah. Not a small individual. Are you done?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So humble this year.
I know. I could go on and on, but those are like my two main tickets.
Well, I'll go on to an unrealistic wish list item for me. And we were just talking to Joe Apple about this. If you guys haven't listened to our previous podcast with him, give it a listen. But he's informed us that for the large individuals, the Kuyu Systems has some great options to run and to be comfortable in and to fully protect the outdoorsmen out there. So I'm definitely going to give those a look. Like he said, he's always had issue finding pants that are long enough for him. And kind of the same issue I have is trying to find a good pair of pants that aren't like dragging a parachute through the bush with you. So I'm going to give them a look. And I've been kind of pondering what the best way to hunt this area that Tristan and I have kind of discovered in the Duck Mountains for the short term that we stay there. And after using my buddy's Chris's climbing stand this fall in our archery area, I think I'm probably gonna look into putting that on my Christmas list.
Like one of those stands you like walk up to a tree and then climb it.
Yeah.
And you like that?
It was I like the fact that I don't have to put in 15 pegs to get to a height that I want to get to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit of work. You're very limited on trees that you can go up, right? You're only going up poplars in Manitoba, right. Essentially.
Just because of the branches, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that area we're in, it's no problem for poplars. And it's, I mean, you can go up as high as you want. And they're super comfy to sit in. Super comfy. And yeah, just the fact that you don't have to pound all those steps in there is appealing to me.
Do you know if there's a place, does Height sell Kiu gear?
I don't know if they have Kiu. They have First Light.
Okay, yeah, First Light.
They might have some Sitka stuff too. They either have Kiu or Sitka. I can't remember which one.
Does anyone know if there's a place in Manitoba that sells this, or do you basically have to order it online?
I might have heard that you can only order it online, but I could be wrong there also.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And so, like, your approach to this whole stand conundrum is a lot different than what mine is, which is mine is basically to build a stand that you can winch up a tree and I can sit in a blind. As I identified, I don't want to be sitting out exposed to the elements, especially on a windy day.
I think you're going about that the wrong way, man. I think you need to find a platform that works for you and then just build a system around that, whether that's like just essentially sewing a camouflage quilt together in a shape that, and then you can have like another bracket that you tie above the tree and then just putting that barrier between you and the elements.
I think we're going to need to see some blueprints here.
So, you know what my old man was doing this year?
What's that?
So, he calls it the redneck body, or redneck heater bodysuit.
Is it a sleeping bag?
Yeah, he took an old sleeping bag, but it's like one of those big ones. And he was in like this kind of like natural ground blind, sitting on a stool, and he would like wrap himself up in that. And so, I never got cold at all this year, and it's something you can always look into.
I got a bit of a fear of sitting in a tree stand in one of those body suits and just taking a tumble.
You'd look like a caterpillar free-falling. You could
do that. Break your neck for sure.
Yeah.
If you weren't wearing a harness.
Who knows? Yeah. Maybe it'd be better. Yeah, how do you get your harness on, eh? You just look like a hot dog dangling from the tree. A little mustard on you, maybe, eh?
A little bit of mustard.
Good thing I remember my mustard.
Yeah.
Made in mustard. So are we on to me already here?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I got lots here to talk about because I've identified a lot of gaps in my my gear catalog. So if Santa's listening, whatever Santa wants to step up here and provide, I'll be happy. Maybe I'll start at the lower end. I'm looking for a new cleaning rod. I should say new cleaning rod. I need another cleaning rod. I run the J. Dewey system now. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that system.
Is that with like the whole bolt protection system? Yeah.
So you got a bolt protection system that slides into the rear end of your gun there. And then you have, you know, a long single piece cleaning rod that rotates. Problem is I get tired of swapping out the brush and the jag between every time. It's a pain in the butt. So I'm just going to try and run two rods and see what that does. Try to, you know, make it a little bit more efficient in the whole cleaning process.
Man, this whole, I need two rods. I need a fully insulated blind now to sit in with two heaters and minus 50 boots with a...
Yeah, that's another thing I got
to
add.
With a cab vehicular to drive up to there so I don't get any frost on my whiskers.
I don't want to get cold, man.
I need a Segway to get me from the truck to the tree stand.
So I need a Mr. Buddy heater. That's another thing. So we'll add Mr. Buddy to the list. Boots. So I've got those Quattro boots that I'm going to put to the test, but I'm also wondering, like... you're going to say something here? There we go.
Carry on.
Wondering if maybe there's a good elk boot out there that I should be aware of. Something. Right now I'm running Dad's hand-me-downs that he got from the fire department 11 years ago, and they're a little rough on the feet.
Man, I bought my boots couple of years ago now, I think. Those Rocky Pro Hunters, or Hunter Pro Hunters, I think they're called. And they're great boots. I can't remember what I paid for them. I had to buy them through like Bass Pro Shops when they're in the States or something like that. And it took a while to get here and to pay some duty and stuff like that. And they end up being like a $220 boot. And they're great. I would do it again. But I just seen them on Camelfire the other day for like $90. And I was like, fuck.
Wait.
I should buy a second pair.
$90 boots? That's, I'm in.
$90 American though.
Oh, sure, okay. Was, so. And then shipping and all that.
Yeah, all that business.
The other thing on the roster here is some Upland gear. I'm planning on getting a dog with Point Proven there. So Graham, who was just on the podcast, would love to start getting some gear so I'm properly outfitted for that and not just stuffing birds in my, like...
In your hoodie pocket.
My hoodie pocket. Yeah.
In your hood of your hoodie. Yeah.
I hauled ducks out of a water hole one time in my rain jacket, and that's how I landed up losing my GPS, so I don't want to repeat that kind of activity.
I'm looking forward to this Upland game endeavor that you're investing in.
I hope so. I'm hoping it's not a complete bust, because that would be embarrassing.
I think it's a complete different avenue that we've been missing out on, essentially.
Yeah, it's like
that's going to be
like Upland seems like criminally underrated in Manitoba.
Yeah,
like how many people we talked to where they said like we're going to go hunt some chickens? Not a lot, eh? So I'm hoping it pays dividends here. I'm excited. I'm excited to have another dog that we can work.
Yeah.
Should be exciting. Now, last on the list here is our flasher broke. We need a new flasher.
Oh, yeah.
So.
What are guys looking for this year? What I would like to know. Like, people that are listening right now, what do you guys, what's the like, Panoptix is obviously, yeah, like, the top of the line. But, I mean, like, Helix 7's been out there for a couple of years now, and that, yeah. I think that's, like, more than what we would need, and but that would certainly cover every utility that we need to cover.
Yeah, we're running that old Markham, and we're getting away with it, so.
That thing was solid when it was working, man.
Yeah, not working so much anymore.
So how, why isn't it working?
Transducer is pooched.
Can you not buy a replacement?
Can't find a new one, no.
No.
It's that old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And what does a flasher go for? Like, if I was going to go buy one, I'd be looking to save in at least like $300 to like $1,000?
I don't think you can get a new one for $300, man.
No. Okay.
I think you're breaking into around $500, $550, something like that
I see them quite a bit on like Facebook Marketplace and like Kijiji and stuff. You see them quite a bit. I've always thought of buying just a used one instead of purchasing the brand new one, but
I hate buying electronics secondhand.
I know
but it's a little worrisome, right? Because you don't know what that thing's been through.
Yeah,
it's not like it's not like buying something mechanical where you can look at it and be like, oh, okay, like all those pieces seem to move in the right way.
Yeah,
nothing's incredibly worn here.
Yeah,
hard to say. But yeah, that's the totality of my wish list. I'm sure there'll be stuff added throughout the season, but that's what we're looking at right now. And hopefully Santa was listening.
Yeah, hopefully someone was listening. Same comment I made last year.
Hello.
The other thing, is this thing on? The other thing that I would want to put into some of to give out as gifts is Make It Mustard. There's a company called Make It Mustard where you can basically combine your own ingredients to make a gourmet mustard and pair it with like anything.
You know what? I've always looked for like, I've always had a hard time finding stocking stuffers for people. And it's always like little bullshit items that they don't need.
Probably going to throw it out.
Yeah. And that's like the perfect thing to like buy for someone that wants some, I don't know, that likes cooking and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? I think it'd be good for anybody, even if you don't like cooking, because it kind of, it's self-explanatory. This is how you do it, and this is what you get, and just try it out.
Yeah.
Might expand your horizons a bit. And not only that, but like, everybody knows that socks and underwear are great in the stocking, but change it up.
Yeah.
Throw that in there.
Yeah.
And if you go to makeitmustard.com, you can get promo code panel15 for 15% off your purchase.
We have a promo code.
Check out.
Wow. Would you put a panoramic outdoors toque in the stocking?
Yeah, I would. Have you guys talked to anybody that's wearing? Like, I'm not wearing one. Are you guys wearing them?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you like them?
I enjoy them. Like, they're warm and they're comfy. So, like, I mean, and it's got our company name on it. So, I'm super jacked.
I picked one out, and then we ran out of that style. So, I had to sell it to a customer.
Well, the thing was,
I tried it on once and it was gone.
The thing that I liked about that part of their gear is, like, I think Tristan, you're saying that it's like, we got to find something that's like inexpensive where everyone is going to wear it if they're changing oil in the truck or going fishing on the ice or doing this and doing that, like an everyday toque. I think we kind of nailed it. Like,
it's a great, like, I've got nothing but good reviews on the toques.
Yeah.
And that, like, everyone says, usually you buy those like a pretty generic toque and they don't fit real well, and like these apparently fit superbly, cover your ears completely, keep them warm, and they look good.
Yeah.
So,
and the other thing too is our camel hoodies and our, let's say, waterfowl hoodies, the white ones and the brown ones. I'm wearing a white one right now.
Goose hoodies.
They're unbelievably, like, so comfortable.
Yeah, they are. They're a lot heavier. Heavy. Yeah.
My one camel one, I wore basically the entire deer season.
I wore mine all deer season. Yeah.
And yeah, unreal. And same thing. We've had some really good reviews on them. So if you want to check that stuff out, head out to our store, www.panoramicoutdoors.com. All our gear's on there.
I was actually surprised at, like, how comfy those camel and those goose hoodies are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just incredibly warm, and it's like wrapping yourself in a blanket almost.
Yeah, I love them. Really do.
It's kind of hard to, like, you gotta make sure you're showing up, but I gotta make sure I'm showing up at events in different clothes once in a while.
Yeah.
Can't wear my panoramic hoodie for the fourth day in a row.
We've been to a couple events wearing the same hoodies.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, I think that picture we had with Graham from Point Proven.
Yeah.
Same hoodie.
Yeah.
Whoops. Oh, well.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Christmas episode.
Yeah. Well, we're just at the start of the ice fishing season here, so hunting season's pretty much wrapped up.
Yep.
Late season elk is, well, I guess there's a late season in January too, right? In some areas.
Late season moose.
Yeah.
Caribou.
So, I guess.
I got one more quick one for you. Okay. For you and Tristan. What's on your wish list for a podcast guest for 2020? Who, someone that you, it might be like a fantasy, like you'll never, probably never be able to get them on, but who would be someone that you'd like to talk?
Put me on the spot with that one. I don't know. There's a lot of great people out there advocating for wildlife and the outdoors. Oh, man.
What about you, Tristan? Who would be like the one podcast guest for next year that's on your wish list that you could send to Santa?
Huh. There's a few that I've kind of thought. One person that would be kind of interesting is Charles Post, who's the managing editor of that hunting magazine that I like. Modern Huntsman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also a biologist out of the States. So I think that'd be interesting. If you haven't checked them out yet, you check them out on Instagram there. But they're kind of rewriting the narrative on hunting in a lot of ways and how we connect with it as a tradition. So I think that's a super cool initiative.
Right.
Aside from that, I think, a really big fish at Panoramic could land. Like, are we talking big time?
Yeah, you can talk about who you want.
Anybody.
Yeah, I'm gonna spill it here. Rutt Daniels.
Rutt would be awesome.
No kidding.
That guy's probably put down more deer than a whole county.
If you guys want a good laugh with some outdoor and hunting humor, check out Rutt Daniels' Instagram page. He's got some pretty good videos, and yeah, it's quite enjoyable. I think my guy would be, it's classic, Jim Shockey would be probably my like
Jumbo.
The Shockster. Do you think he gets called that?
Do you think he does?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'd be terrified to call Jim Shockey the Shockster.
The Shockster. But yeah, that'd be cool to have him on. That'd be probably my wish list.
That'd be a pretty good one.
Yeah. Okay, are you hoping for Jim or are you hoping for Eva?
I'm not even going to comment because either way, I'll make myself look bad.
I don't know. I can go for mine. I really like Chef Eduardo Garcia, man. And he's putting some wicked stuff out. And he's got a series on YouTube with that Yeti Presents. I can't remember what his is called again. Fact check that.
Keep talking.
But it's, he's got, I think it's like a 6-episode series. My buddy Lewis put me onto it, and it's just, I don't know, the connection that he makes in those videos to outdoors and cooking and hunting and fishing and stuff like that and just being outside.
Is it Hungry Life?
That's it. Yeah.
Like, and his story is unreal.
Oh yeah.
Like basically just in short form, and maybe you can help me out with
this. Is he the guy with one arm?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like goes to cut off of a claw off of a dead grizzly bear that's draped over a junction box, gets electrocuted. Goes to the hospital for like months and months and months and months.
Walks out of the bush with like these severe burns.
Yeah. Like in the hospital for like, I want to say almost like a year plus.
Yeah.
Then realizes that way back when he was a chef on a yacht, he had pain in his testicles to the point where that pain came back while he's in the hospital. And then they realized he had testicle cancer, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And so he had to spend more time in the hospital. Yeah. And then after that comes out of this all. And
perseveres.
Yeah. Takes all these life experiences, his cooking and his outdoors, and puts it all together and starts what he's doing now. Like, it's an amazing story. I'd like to talk to him and get in depth on that.
Oh, yeah, man. And he's got Montana Mex, his like spice company he's running now. And like, I don't know, he just does some awesome stuff. You check out that Yeti Presents series on him. It's wicked. He's also got, can't remember what his, he's got a movie out. I think it's called, I can't remember what it's called now. Charged is called. Kind of goes over his story there while he's in the hospital and stuff.
Is that on YouTube?
No, I found it on Amazon Prime.
Did you watch it?
I did. Yeah.
Was it good?
It was good.
What would you give it out of 5? 12?
Yeah, it's good. it's really cool because it really goes back into his life. Like his life and stuff like that, and it's a good vision into what his life was up to that moment, and then kind of what's happening after the moment, and it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Have you cooked any of his recipes yet?
No, I haven't looked up any. Well, I haven't cooked any of his recipes, but I've definitely been inspired by some of the stuff that he's done, like some of his backcountry cooks and like the stuff he was doing with he was on Ranella's show there.
Oh yeah.
Meteor show. Yeah. And he was cooking with dried rose hips. So a couple of years ago I picked a bunch of rose hips and made some of the jelly, and I still have some frozen. Actually, I should make some, like dehydrate it and make some chutney and stuff like that. But yeah,
that's smart.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what Sheldon's up to here, but we did our little Christmas tree excursion today, or this week, eh?
Yep.
Saturday we went out.
We did.
Tested out the boots, and then we also did a little tour. I missed a couple chickens.
Yeah. That was embarrassing for you. I was embarrassed in the truck.
I hadn't shot the 410 in years, man. Had all kinds of malfunctions occurring. That's all we need to. We don't need to talk about the chicken missing further, really. But like, I mean, it was cool. I mean, I hate to say, but we got probably the most Charlie Brown looking tree. You've cut it down in the bush. You think it's the prettiest tree all around, but you bring it to the house, and all of a sudden, the brown factor hits real hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I have this battle in my mind every time we do this, every time we go get a tree, because like I'm always looking for the perfect Christmas tree, and like growing up we always bought the trees from like the tree farms and stuff like that, where they're just, they're beautiful and they're perfectly shaped and stuff like that. But not to get like too deep into like this conversation about it, but it's like,
let's go down the rabbit hole.
What, like, it's a great representation of life and what life actually is when you go cut down a tree from the woods, because it's a pretty rare occasion, unless you cut down like a white spruce or something like that, that, you know, you're not going to find the perfect Christmas tree that doesn't have a little hole in it or a little wiggle or a double branch or something like that. You know what I mean?
Must be tough tree hunting when you're a dendrologist here, okay? Dendrologist. Walking through the bush. Oh, no, that's not going to do.
What was that off of?
That was off of one of our other podcasts.
I know, but who was on that?
Oh, one? I can't remember.
Jamie was there.
Was it Jamie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jamie was on the point of that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That was funny.
But, like, I mean, like, yeah, point taken, it was cool, like, because, like, that,
and like we're sitting beside this like gnarly ass looking tree here,
jack pine,
and it looks awesome, I think.
Well, this is my basement tree.
Yeah,
this is what we're supposed to, this is where the man cave resides. This is where all the you know, nefarious activities are conducted, and I think the tree suits the room. We'll take a picture of it, like, posted it.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it was also cool because it was experience, right? That's what it was about. It wasn't about finding the perfect tree. We got your boy out there, Decker.
Yeah.
He helped us cut down and carry a tree.
He's Ryan Shotgun.
Ryan Shoddy.
Yeah.
And, you know, had Jody Carly out. You know, it was kind of nice just to have an afternoon or a morning to be out in the woods.
Yeah.
And see what's going on. And even though the trees aren't symmetrical or geometrically perfect, they all three of them have a story behind them.
Yeah.
And something to think about when you look at it, other than, hey, I just drove to the supermarket and picked up my tree.
Yeah. And then, like, you can look at those pictures looking back and say, oh man, remember how good we thought that tree looked when we cut it down, and then when we got to the house, here, Charlie Brown.
You know what? I just want to say there's something to be said about, you know, harvesting a free range public land tree. You know, like
tough year.
Fair chase. You know, you spend a lot of time in the stand and
watching that tree grow and develop. And
got a lot of cam pictures of it. And at the end of the day, you know, you're just grateful to be out there on God's land.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
Let's wrap this, you guys. Short and sweet.
We want to give you a little Christmas teaser here, you know, something, a little gift for the holidays. You bared with us throughout hunting season. I know we weren't always there for you because we were out busy either in the stand or the blind or scouting or in camp without cell service. So we want to give you a little bonus. Hope you enjoyed it.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas.